When I walked in the church building this morning, I couldn't put my finger on it, but something looked different. We want to thank the deacons, particularly Jerry and Brendan, for overseeing such a huge project. Think about if you were going to recarpet your house, how much furniture and things in the closet you'd have to move. Well, how about 10 classrooms and a workroom and a foyer and four closets? And Jerry especially wanted to thank the teachers and for their patience this morning as they had to come early and make sure their classrooms were ready to receive students so that they could teach the Word of God to our children. And we're so thankful for all who endured this great project. You may wonder why nothing's been done in the auditorium. They couldn't find anything to match the chalkboard, so we'll have to wait on that. I'm going to be reading in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and I want to encourage you to open your Bible. We're going to read the first 14 verses of that chapter together, 2 Kings 5. It will be an account that will be familiar to you, but I would ask that as we read it, you hear it as it were for the first time. 2 Kings 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." And the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to them and said, "My father, had the servant told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. The Bible is about redemption. from start to finish, cover to cover, it is a book about redemption. From man's sin in the Garden of Eden to his restoration to the Garden of Paradise, God seeks to redeem his people. And when we think about stories of redemption, we might think about the cases of conversion in the book of Acts, where the apostles took the gospel of Christ and spread it to the uttermost parts of the world and came in contact with people who needed redemption. But I want you to see this morning, there are also stories of redemption in the Old Testament, where God not only reached into the depths of the nation of Israel and their sin, but far off into the Gentile world and rescued someone like Rahab the harlot. And here in the time of Elisha the prophet, Naaman the leper. And in each case, the story is the same. I'd ask that you consider with me this morning a case for conversion in looking at the account of Naaman. Now, one of my rejected titles was Naaman, Extreme Makeover Condition. But that didn't make the final cut. But he is a case for conversion, because the same elements that convert a man today are just as powerful in this story. Remember that Paul said the things that were written before, talking about the Old Testament, were written for our learning. They are meant to instruct us, to encourage us, to have hope, Romans 15 and verse 4. And such we find in Naaman, this case for conversion. And I wanted to do that by just looking at three phrases that are in this text. Three phrases that jump out at us as we consider this conversion account. The first one is found in verse 1, where it says, "But he was a leper." That's a game changer, isn't it? It doesn't matter what's on the other side of the scale. When you add, "But he was a leper," game over. And it goes to great lengths to describe who Naaman was, the captain of the army of Aram, or your version may have Syria, same place. A great man, highly respected, and a valiant warrior. Consider that resume. And all the things Naaman had going for him as a person and a soldier. He had power. He was most likely wealthy. He certainly had a servant girl in his house. But he was a leper. Now, he did not live among the Israelites, so he was not bound by what the law of Moses said concerning those who had leprosy. The law of Moses said, keep him out of the camp. We don't want him in the midst of the people, because leprosy was contagious. It was a skin condition. And a person with leprosy would have sores over his body. And sometimes they would turn the hair white and the skin white. Sometimes they would lead to the person being deformed. And so the only comfort lepers had among the Israelites were to form their own colonies outside the camp. That's why it's so remarkable that in one instance where Jesus cured a man of leprosy, the record says that he reached and touched him. Think how long it had been since he'd felt the touch of another person. And Naaman had this disease. And he couldn't fight his way out of it. He couldn't spend enough money to cure it. He was a leper. Game over. Even the king of Israel's question, when it falls to his desk to do something about it, he said in verse 7, "Am I God? What do you want me to do? This man has an incurable disease. Am I God who could do something?" Let me tell you this morning, sin is a disease. It is a disease that affects not just you, but it spreads. Sin is a disease that causes the soul to die. It eats away at us. Little by little, we are destroyed by sin. And it doesn't matter what else you can say about your life. I'm the CEO of this company. I'm on this list of wealthy people in our country. I have all these possessions that are in my name. The other side, if it says, "But he is a sinner," game over. Man needs redemption. A redemption we can't find anywhere else. If you were to come to me and say, "I need help, I'm a sinner," I would say just like the king, "Am I God? What do you want me to do about that? I'll pray with you, I'll pray for you, but I can't cure the disease." But he was a leper. Have you come face to face with the reality of your sin and what it does to you and what it will do to you? We all need God's redemption. We need Him to intervene and do what no man can do and cure us of the disease of sin. But he was a leper. The second phrase in the account that jumps out to me is in verse 11. Now Naaman receives word that there is someone in Samaria who can help him. He too has likely been searching for ways to be cured of this disease. And he says, "There's a prophet." And so he goes to the house of Elisha. And he has his own expectations about how this should go. And the servant of Elisha comes out and says, "Well, I tell you, if you want to be healed, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored like a little child." And look what Naaman the captain said in verse 11. "Behold, I thought." Behold, I thought. This isn't how I imagined this would play out. This is how I think it should happen. Not the messenger come out, but Elisha himself come out of that house. What, is he too busy to see me? Does he not know who I am, the captain of the army of Syria? He should come out and wave his hand over the place. Wherever I have the sore, just wave his hand and it will be healed. And if not that, if I do have to go wash in a river, don't we have better rivers in my country? Go wash in that dirty old Jordan River? Behold, I thought. And so he turned and went away in rage. Can you imagine that? He'd been waiting for the cure. He wanted it so desperately. And when a simple solution was given, he said, "Behold, I thought it'd be different," and went away in a rage. And you know, people still do that. They want the cure. They want their sins washed away. They want to be clean again and to have a conscience that's pure, to have all that guilt and shame be taken away. But they have their own thought about how that should be done. Keep your place here, but turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. And notice how the Lord answers this business of, "Behold, I thought." Isaiah 55, read with me verses 8, starting at verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Are we so arrogant as a people that we would read what the Lord requires to be saved and say, 'That's not what I thought'? That we would find the simple solution he gives for the disease of sin and say, 'There's got to be a better way than that.' Behold, I thought." Well, we're going to have our own thoughts. And we're going to have our own way we think it should be done. But God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. "Behold, I thought." Do you want to be cured or not? Do you want God to intervene as the great physician or not? Are you going to read what he said to do to be saved and then turn and go away in a rage because of your own thoughts and your own ways? The Bible is about redemption. Well, who can forgive sins but God alone? Thankfully, we know that Naaman eventually did submit. And look how his attitude changed. Look back at 2 Kings 5 and verse 15. The man who first said, "Behold, I thought," when he returned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Behold, I know. Well, how did he know? Because he did what God said to do. He was a leper. He had his own thoughts. But the third phrase I want you to notice is in verse 14. And it's this phrase, "according to the word of the man of God." According to the word of the man of God. Well, what was the word of the man of God? Verse 10, "Go and wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and you shall be cleansed." Now remember, Naaman was the one who had brought all those gifts, all those talents, and changes of clothes Again, he was trying to incur the favor of the one who would cure him, but the cure was not in those gifts. The cure was not in the horses and the chariots that he rode all the way up to Elisha's house, probably again trying to show, I'm a great warrior, this is the army I have at my disposal. But the cure was not in his own power. The cure was not even in the dirty waters of the Jordan. There was nothing magical about those waters. The cure was in his obedience to do according to the word of the man of God. And when he washed himself 7 times in the Jordan, his flesh, which had sores, was now restored like that of a little child. Question. Did you notice how that word of the man of God came to Naaman? It was first the suggestion in verse 2 of a little girl. A little girl who had been taken captive and is now away from her family and having to serve Naaman and his house. A girl who very easily could have had the attitude of, well, I hope he dies of his leprosy. Maybe then I'll get to go back home. But she said, I wish that my master knew about the servant of God in Samaria. Then he'd be cured. And so Naaman pursued that. And then it was not Elisha himself, but a messenger who came out of his house in verse 10. The messenger of Elisha who now communicated the word of the Lord. And then in verse 13, were it not for Naaman's own servants who said, if he had told you to do some great thing, climb a mountain, go somewhere, you would have done that. How much more washing the Jordan 7 times? So have you considered this morning how you are communicators of the Word of God? And by your own spreading of that Word can cause people to be cured of sin? That they could do all according to the Word of the Lord? You know what our problem is? I hope they get what they deserve. They're just a bunch of sinners, and they need to be punished eternally for that. Instead of saying, I wish that they would come to know the God who cures the disease of sin. That they would do according to the word of God. Because he did. Notice the contrast. The bookends of the account. He was a leper in verse 1. At the end of verse 14... he was clean. He was a leper. That's who he was. But now he's been made clean. Naaman, a case for conversion that fits right into the story of redemption. What's your story today? You know, God has recognized the problem of sin and the horrible nature and its destructive force, how it separates us from Him. And what God did was not send a messenger. He sent His only Son to be a sacrifice for sin. And that son, by all authority, said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You say, well, that's not the way I think it should be done. I know of a better way than that. You ready to do according to the word of God? You're going to make his thoughts your thoughts and his way your way? We're going to sing a song that would encourage you to do that and start your own redemption story. If you have a need in the gospel this morning, we are not God to do what he can do, but we are his servants who want to communicate what he has said. Can we assist you? Let it be known while we stand and while we sing.